It's time for three stories you should know. Well, actually, there's really only one super story this week, and unless you've been living in a cave with no Wi-Fi, you've already heard about it. Anyway, joining me this time around are WBUR Shira Springer and Mike Pesca. He's the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Shira, I understand that you are in Houston for some sort of contest. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm down here in Houston for the Super Bowl, and there has been a dizzying array of events, official NFL announcements, and press conferences. The latest announcement I received from NFL Communications, word that Super Bowl babies will be saluting Super Bowl legends in a 30-second commercial that will appear during the big game. Can't wait for that.
Super Bowl babies.
Yes. But seriously, the pace of news here, the bombardment of alerts for happenings big and small, reminds me a lot of the Trump administration and the IOC at the Olympics. The NFL, the IOC, and the White House seem to employ the same strategy when it comes to spin, namely, overload the media and hope they don't have time to ask the tough questions and dig deep into controversial issues. Roger Goodell's State of the NFL press conference on Wednesday provided a really good example of that. While Goodell took five questions about Deflategate, a few about franchise relocations, and one about loosening restrictions on marijuana use, the 40-minute press conference did not include a single question about concussions. And I'm curious, do you think by inundating the media, the NFL is intentionally distracting reporters from important issues?
I like the analogy, Trump administration to NFL. I think the rheumatologist who served for years as their concussion expert, that's the equivalent of Ben Carson running HUD. I think that the heads-up tackling program, that definitely seems like a Betsy DeVos innovation, grilled by Tim Kaine, not knowing what she's talking about. But I have been in those press conferences. When I say those, there is this one official press conference, and it's more like the Putin press conference. It is so stage-managed. And
yes,
you submit, not in writing, but someone will say, what do you want? A guy with an earpiece comes up to you and says, what do you want to ask about? Which is weird in a press conference to get a little bit of pre-screening. They don't exactly vet it. But of course, they could use this to steer away from anything they don't want. And also, they pick on the two or three maybe foreign journalists or crazy guys with their own pet issues who can distract you. And that's a tried and true press conference tactic. It has the veneer of the media asking Goodell questions. And there were tough questions, but there were questions about things he wanted to answer, like, how are you going to make the ratings rebound?
I don't doubt that the NFL is trying to do what you say the league is trying to do, Shira. But on the eve of the Super Bowl, I kind of wonder if the effort is necessary, because it seems to me that historically, at least, the public has demonstrated that they care enormously about such issues as domestic violence committed by players and brain injuries suffered by them until it's game time, at which point they put all those concerns aside, they grab some chips, they watch the game. When the bread is plentiful and the circus has begun, concerns with things like violence against women and the health of players just somehow melt away. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's part of the problem, that it's very hard to sustain media attention when so much is coming at you this week. This is the biggest week for the NFL. This is when all of the international attention is here. You know, a large portion of the country, despite what's going on in the White House, will be paying attention to this game. And I just wish that there was more attention paid to two issues in particular, domestic violence and concussions, because I think the NFL has an abysmal record with both of those issues. I don't care that the NFL doesn't want to talk to them, and I don't care that the NFL wants the shield to shine during this week.
I think that this has been the most suppressed Super Bowl that I've ever seen, and just world events overwhelming anything coming out of Houston. So as far as what Shira said, I think they are two very separate issues, similar in that they've been treated by the NFL in the same way, which is to obfuscate and deny. But the domestic violence issue is a societal issue that NFL teams could take the lead on. It would be nice if they did, but they clearly don't. But there are so many other sports leagues and so many other entities that are falling down on this. You know, as we remember, Ray Rice wasn't sentenced to anything in the courts. And so many of these cases, nothing came of it in terms of jail time or real penalties except diversion. So to ask the NFL to go beyond where society is, I think it would be nice if they did, but they're not doing it. Whereas concussions are entirely a football creation. And even though they will cite that concussions are down this year, and maybe they are compared to the baseline of the self-reported concussions, it's still a tremendous issue. And with youth football, they're doing these minuscule changes that really do seem more cosmetic than they are actual. And it's a horrifying thing.
You talk about it being the most suppressed Super Bowl ever. And what's been interesting here is questions have been asked about Trump, about the immigration ban, and about various other policies, including the relationship between U.S. and Mexico, because the Patriots and the Raiders will play next season in Mexico. And yet players, coaches, executives are shying away from even addressing or, in fact, acknowledging what's going on in the rest of the United States.
All right, Mike, it's your turn, and I understand we're still on football, right?
Yeah, so this is a tweak on what Shira was saying, but normally before the Super Bowl, I like football. I'm a fan of football, and I like the intellectual aspects and the coaching decisions that are made, the chess match, if you will. Oh, God, I apologize to everyone. But I have just been so uninvested. I normally listen to some in-depth podcasts, and I tried getting into it, and they were talking about A-gap pressure on Brady, and I was just so bored by it. And they were talking about how Atlanta uses its running backs, and might they use both running backs at a time on the same play when usually they don't.
But there's only one football, Mike. How could they do that?
It doesn't make any sense. What madness are you speaking? But my internal reaction was, why? I don't care. Why don't I care? Part of it's because I have been uninvested in the NFL all season. I thought it was a boring season. It was an extra boring postseason. But if ratings are down 8%, my interest is somewhere down 38%. I know it's not because Colin Kaepernick kneeled. I don't think it's because head trauma. I found a way to live with that, whatever you want to call it, justify that, tell myself whatever stories I need to tell. But last year, Denver against the Panthers, this 15-1 team, or Peyton Manning, and years before, every other year a Patriots team has gotten there, they've had these seemingly unstoppable offenses, occasionally to be stopped by a Giants team. And then in past years, the Saints have been in it, and the Buccaneers have been in it, and all these teams that have never been in it. And then I said to myself, well, the Falcons haven't been in it, but I lived in Atlanta, and they are not a loved team by that fan base. So it's just this confluence where, unless it was the Patriots against the Cowboys, and then there'd be a little juice for me. I have cared so much less about the intricacies of this Super Bowl than I've ever cared about a game before.
Shira, you're in the belly of the beast. Is there anybody down there who feels the same way Mike does?
No.
Good.
In my hotel, which also happens to be sort of ground zero for NFL activities, there are a lot of former players and current players staying, and you have people filtering in and celebrity watching. I mean, people here are just all NFL. The league can do no wrong. Everything is great. And you've got people wandering the streets in Brady jerseys and Matt Ryan jerseys and Ben Roethlisberger jerseys. I mean, this is just nirvana for NFL fans. And the game Sunday will be, you know, the height of it all.
Mike, I have to assume from what you've said that you're not a fan of the great and growing controversy concerning how uncomfortable one multimillionaire might be handing the trophy to another multimillionaire, despite the fact that they're corporate partners. I just find that utterly fascinating myself.
I'm with you. Yes. I'm with you, Bill.
That holds intrigue. And I also enjoy questioning my own beliefs. And this week when Donald Trump came out and said that Roger Goodell was not an intelligent person, I found myself saying, my God, I agree with Donald Trump. How do I sit with this? So that was interesting. It's just the A-gap pressure talk.
I wonder if the A-gap pressure talk is there to distract from, you know, all the other stuff and to keep the focus on the game and not let Deflategate take over the narrative.
What's wrong with a pass rush up the middle? Why can't we just say pass rush up the middle? Why does A-gap pressure express this better? I don't understand.
I want to take just a minute to help out the dozen or so people who won't be watching the Super Bowl. I haven't seen La La Land yet. I'm told it's very entertaining. Rogue One, Star Wars Story, is out if you haven't had your fill of space movies. Arrival, another possibility if you feel that way. I've been told Hidden Figures is wonderful. Going to have to check that out myself. I liked Lion. Nice story. Happy ending for everybody. And the Super Bowl, of course, only has a happy ending for the fans of one of the two teams. So Lion is at least twice as good as that. Go to the early show, leave your phone home, have a nice dinner at a restaurant where there are no TVs, and by the time you get home, you'll have missed the game. And if you really want to find out what happened, turn your phone on again, and you can check out the highlights. Shira, is that enough to get me arrested or deported in the land where football is king?
Yes, but I've just been going over the game day logistics for covering this game, how early people will need to arrive to make sure they're there for kickoff, and I think you actually may be on to something. I am amazed at how many people are going to flood into the stadium and go through all the hassle to be there live for this experience. I'm not opposed to the movie option, I must say.
Binge watching on a Netflix or a Hulu or an Amazon, like there'll probably be less competition for the cable feed, that now might be the time to do it. Your House of Cards, your Americans, what have you.
Right. So either do that or patronize your local theater and restaurant and check everything out on the phone when you're finished.
Yes.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and WBUR's own Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe. Thank you, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.